London.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM. All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller. We're going to talk sports with you for the next couple of hours, and we appreciate you spending some of that time here with us. BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this, bottom of the hour, give or take a couple of minutes. Our friend Scott Dockerman from The Athletic, we will recap Iowa's win over Minnesota, look ahead to Illinois this week, maybe some basketball, probably not. Anything you caught your attention from? Well, you were busy on Friday night. You probably didn't see the Kansas City game. I didn't either. Big Ten, BTN Plus either. Anyways, a lot of football coming up with Doc. And then we will head to Las Vegas, Circus Sports. They have that radio real estate at 10:50 every Monday. Jeff Benson on how the books did and the latest on Circus Sports, who had a $1 million Wheel of Fortune jackpot slot machine winner yesterday.
I saw that.
Did you see that? Oh, my gosh. You ever play the slots?
Yeah.
Do you?
I do.
What a waste of time.
Yeah, get a kick out of it every once in a while.
Mindless.
Never win. Yeah, it is. Well, I do plenty of mindless things.
Yeah, anyways, so Jeff Benson will join us from Circuit at 10:50. Bama Bob Trent and I will kick off hour number two, going around the world of college football, and then Michael Swain, who covers Iowa State, 24/7 sports, cyclonealert.com. We will talk a lot of basketball with Michael Swain. Maybe a little football sprinkled in as well.
6-4.
Yeah, it's Trent, there's no sugarcoating what the season has been like in Ames football-wise. It is an utter disappointment. You can understand why so many people picked them, myself included. I mean, everybody was back.
Everybody was back. From a 9-3 team.
Right.
That lost to Louisiana by 17.
Mm-hmm.
That beat, I don't know, the worst participant in a New Year's Six game?
Yeah, I don't care about that. They won a New Year's Six bowl. It was historic for them, but they had everybody back. And, they just didn't. Look, where's the secondary? What happened to the secondary?
Especially the cornerbacks.
Oh, my God, just dreadful.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Against a backup quarterback, really a third-team quarterback.
You're 100% right. This was the third-team quarterback.
And he looked like Patrick Mahomes.
And a couple of weeks ago, Daigie had the best game of his career.
Yeah.
Best game of his career. Let's do the good before we do the bad. Let's get into the Hawks from their win over Minnesota. It was an Iowa win, right?
Yes.
It's the disappointing part of it was Tracy still lipping off. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I get it. And you're disappointed that your playing time has gone away, but you've been passed by on the depth chart.
Yeah. Arlen Bruce is a playmaker.
Absolutely is.
And Keegan Johnson is your number one.
And how about that? That touchdown he scored, Trent. Yeah. Come on.
Now, got to be more consistent with the hands.
That's true.
A couple of drops in the game.
Yes, he did.
Iowa has their quarterback.
Yes, they do.
Right?
Yes.
But listening on the way home.
He can move around, Trent.
Oh, yes.
That's the difference in this.
It completely changes what they can do offensively.
Look, the numbers don't wow you by any means, but that was his first start.
Throws for 206 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Two touchdowns.
That's just it. How many picks, Trent? That would be a great big goose egg.
Now, there are two drop picks.
Well, true.
That's going to happen with a lot of quarterbacks. And you can play that argument game all that you want. Ultimately, they got the win.
Yep.
There's things to be concerned about, certainly. Clock management again from Ferentz.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside, they have their quarterback. Yet, listening on the way home.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
It's
still a question in some people's mind. I don't know how you can watch that performance on Saturday and walk away saying, well, it's still Spencer Petras' job. Are you joking?
No.
It's not close.
Can't be.
It is not close.
You know, the teammates, Trent, the team, they know who the quarterback should be.
Absolutely.
The coaches should know who the quarterback should be. I'll be surprised. Is he just doing that? Because, look, if Petras was a great teammate all week.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Johnson went out of his way to point that out. Of course, Padilla likewise.
Yes.
But Keegan Johnson pointed it out.
And it was unprompted. It wasn't.
Just his first response to a question that wasn't about the quarterback.
He said, I wanted to say this, and he talked about what he did this week. But I don't think it's even a starter. I don't even think it should be a conversation piece yet. I was incredibly surprised listening to both post-game shows on Saturday night, and that was a conversation piece about who was going to be the quarterback if Petras is healthy. There's no doubt about it. My question is, how can you watch Padilla, who is really good in one of the open practices, not as good in the other, but how can you watch that guy knowing that you're going to have struggles with your offensive line and say, oh, it's not even close? How do we come off that Nate Stanley final game against USC and they just hand the job? That was still the most shocking thing to me, is it was not an open competition. It was Spencer Petras is our guy, and it's not even close. How does that happen? And because that's so different than the Ferentz's.
That's true, and it carried over to this year, too.
Yes.
I mean, you and I had this conversation about this time last year that this is going to be an open competition in spring. We got corrected on Twitter. No, it's not, guys. You know better than to say that. It's going to be Petras' job. There's not going to be an open competition. And if there was, how did Petras beat? I mean, I don't know, Trent, what they saw early in the year. I really don't. What I saw with my own two eyes at Northwestern, and then again this week, is a quarterback who presents a whole different skill set. And you hit the nail on the head. With that challenged offensive line, you've got to provide a guy that can run around and isn't going to be exactly where you know he's going to be, because that's Petras' M.O.
I understand that Ferentz has a lot in Petras. That's a guy that he respects. He likes how he commands the team.
Look at the two guys that could have been there in his place.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. They had an opportunity for
Zach
a guy
Wilson
that was
and Trey Lance.
Third and fourth picks?
Second and third
picks in the NFL draft.
Right.
They had opportunities for those guys. They like Petras more.
But Petras signed faster. Yeah, he signed first.
Yep.
And then off Wilson went to BYU. And yeah.
He was packing his bags to come to Iowa City, and Petras committed. And just like that, well, we don't need anybody else. That's a couple.
Took a turn to the north and off he went to Fargo.
That's a pretty big indictment of Ken O'Keefe. That's what has come out of this. Yeah. Look, Padilla's good. He's solid. Are there limitations? I guess. But the ability.
No, I'm not anointing him as the next coming by any means.
Yeah. And it's also same thing. Shouldn't be a competition going into next year. I would think so. I think if Petras decides to leave, if the offensive line is better next year. Now, it won't have Linderbaum about it, but you got to figure every other spot probably is going to be an upgrade of what we've seen this year. But still, and Deuce Hogan, throw him in the mix and the other youngsters that'll be on campus. Yeah, it should be an open competition. That's just the baffling part about this whole thing of how this all played out and where we are today. Is it fair it's just saying the right things about a guy that he respects?
I think that has to be the case.
Tomorrow, the questions will be asked during the press conference.
Well, when will the depth chart come out? Doesn't it come out sometime this afternoon?
Is it on Mondays?
I think it is.
Okay. We'll get the game notes and it'll come out there.
And this time last week, the depth chart came out and Petras wasn't even listed.
It's going to be very easy to hide behind the shoulder injury and just continue this. And
good, keep hiding.
I think Kirk said after the game that if it was like a four-minute situation where Petras had to go in, he would have been able to do that. Not whole game, but they could have been able to do that. Again, well, if he's good enough to do that, he's probably good enough to play. But he is your guy.
Yes.
Why is he so scared to say that?
I don't know.
From what you saw the last 2 weeks, the way this team is built, it doesn't make sense. But I got another bone to pick.
Go ahead.
And that is you get the ball back on the 3-yard line with 2 minutes and change left in the ball game. A touchdown makes it a 2-score game. And you run clock.
Yeah.
You don't try to score. Is there another coaching staff in college football that plays it out like that?
No, at least they covered.
They did cover, yes.
Because I know that there was a lot of people with that in the back of their minds.
Right, yeah.
I get it, Trent. I'm with you.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
And what's more likely, in fact, when you go that route, playing it out the way that they did, not trying to score the first two down. Alex Padilla said that. They were not trying to score on the first two plays. You do that, or even going for it. Now, losing yards.
They almost bit them in the you-know-what.
Say they don't lose the 3 yards on third down. If you just sneak it 4 straight times.
You're going to score.
I feel better than the way that they did it and the way that it played out. Even if you don't get the field goal there, you're going to make them march, 55 yards without a timeout with 40 seconds left. From the 2-yard line, from the 1-yard line. That's the way it plays out. If you play it out in that direction, they were a Joey the Bull Joe Evans.
What a play.
Getting off the edge.
What a play.
From a ball that's going to be in the air to win the football game.
Yep.
That's terrible clock management.
It is.
And it bites him. It doesn't bite him this time.
Nope.
There's going to be a time, though,
you feel like. 13 made a play.
13 made a play.
He did. That was really good. Stayed home. Mm-hmm. His assignment, that was his assignment. He didn't stray from it. We've seen it a million times that guys do. But he was right there when Morgan turned in. Now, I don't know what he was doing, by the way.
Right, yeah.
But grateful that he did make that unnecessary move. But Joe Evans stayed home. It was
went straight up the field because he knew you're going to roll out to the right and then throw it up to the end zone. He, instead of going towards the pocket, he just went straight outside. And that big,
and there he was.
Big right tackle couldn't get out there.
Starts with an F. Falale.
Yes. Boy, he is a monster. 6'9",
380. That's the whole line. My gosh.
40 minutes time of possession.
Yeah.
For Minnesota. They were able to move the football. Didn't matter what running back was in there. They were able to, in that pitch play, and then cut back.
Time after time after time.
P.J. Fleck came out with a game plan, but he did not coach well himself. And the decision on 4th and 17, as Iowa got the ball back on the 3.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 and change left. Put it back. You know what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, we saw it just a month ago. They just kneeled it.
Right.
They're not going to get a first down.
No.
They're going to punt it back to you.
Probably so.
In a 2-point game. That was a bad decision. When you have it at the 2-yard line, first field goal of the game, why aren't you going for it there?
Mm-hmm.
The field goal attempt from 53 yards when you don't have kickers that can make
I'm with you.
Long field goals.
I was shocked.
Phil Fleck? Well,
I was
there's
shocked.
A reason. I don't respect the guy that much.
100% right. By the way, what did it look like in this state? I thought Jack Campbell should have been tossed.
Oh, really?
I did.
What play?
When they threw a flag, unnecessary roughness on the quarterback. I thought he led with the crown of his helmet and got Morgan right in the chops.
Did he? Okay, so I of course
watched
the
game. Because
they
did go to targeting.
Yes,
I mean they did. You know, send it to the replay.
Well, and it felt like at that time inside the stadium that every call was going against Iowa. There was a lot of boos and you know, the Goodson touchdown that wasn't a touchdown, and then Padilla snuck it in.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. It felt like, well, everything's going Minnesota's way. Yeah, Campbell will probably be ejected. Maybe that's my negativity that was seeping through at that point. But watching the replay on the BTN in 60 last night, they only showed it once. I rewound it once.
It was close.
Was it close? Yeah.
Because he led with the crown of his helmet. I'm convinced he did. Again, glad that they didn't kick him out because that would have kicked him. Was that a second half play? I think it was a second half play. That would have kept him out at least the first half of the Illinois game. Well, good for them. Charlie Jones, just phenomenal. You know, he's taking. Whose snaps are he taking? Is that some of Tracy's too?
Oh, absolutely.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
You got to get him on the field. I'm talking about Jones.
Yeah.
Look what he can do. He's because he's a special teams threat. Special teams threat. Now, I got to give Matt Hankins credit for the hustle on the, how do you say his name, Kieft?
Yeah.
It was really close.
It was closer than you first
absolutely.
Thought.
Absolutely. Now, while I give Hankins credit for being there, he didn't complete his assignment. He got sucked in.
He did.
He got caught looking into the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Now then tried to make up for it, and he hustled his you-know-what off. Boy, it was close.
It was closer than you first thought, and you slow
when
it
I first
down.
Thought, I thought there's no way.
No.
You know, let's not waste our time. Let's go right to the extra point. And then you see it a couple of different angles, thinking, well, you know what? Maybe there's something here.
Closer than you thought.
It was an inch.
Hankins also got beat on the long touchdown.
Yes, he did. Yep.
And yet he graded out well. I saw Pro Football Focus. I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
That he graded out well. Belton, he got physicaled a couple of times there, but he put his nose.
Right.
Almost had an interception. Benson almost. I mean, the defense, you look at the time of possession, but overall, against that offensive line, how undersized they are up front, I thought they played pretty well.
I did too. Look, it's all there for him, Trent. It's all there. They still got a chance to get to Indianapolis. Do I think that Minnesota will beat Wisconsin? Wisconsin's playing very well right now. They're playing very good football. Wisconsin's got Nebraska this week. Would you fall off your chair?
No, absolutely not.
I wouldn't either.
Teams rally to when things like this happen, when coaching staffs are let go, when coordinators, whatever, are fired. You see teams rally. They've had a week to kind of get right.
Texas Tech. Look at no further from Texas Tech.
Washington State at the beginning of the year and what they were able to do. You see this happen quite often. I would not be surprised at all because Nebraska, this is still not a great Wisconsin team, even as good as they're playing. They still have warts.
Really good defense.
Excellent. Elite. Yeah.
Maybe the freshman is running the ball extremely well right now.
No Malusi, but that's fine.
No, he's done.
Because they're still able to run the ball, and they just keep the ball out of Mertz's hands. But if this is 16-16 in the fourth quarter.
What time is that game? Does it conflict? It's not a night game, I'm guessing, right?
Good question.
I wish it was, but I probably can't have everything.
No, no.
Or is it an early game?
That one is 2:30.
2:30. So 2:30, 1, no, 11, 1, 2:30. So that's maybe where I'll end the afternoon slot. Watch the Hawks get finished with Illinois as they kick off at 1. Iowa State, boy, the Fox big noon kickoff took a little bit of a downturn, right, as far as hype with Oklahoma getting beaten. That wasn't a fluke.
I did not see that one coming at all. That was one of my picks this week. In fact, the only one that didn't come home this week, another 4-1. Start. I'll leave you alone this week.
Don't even start.
4-1, 4-1, 4-1. We keep building them up. But that was the one I missed. And Dave Aranda, are we looking at another Baylor coach that's going to quickly get out of there?
Well, he's going to have opportunities, Trent. And I think LSU's got to, they've at least got to kick the tires.
USC?
Why not?
James Franklin, the bloom is off the rose a little bit there.
Is. Yeah, I think it is.
You look around college football, and a very well Florida job could come open too.
Well, should. Stanford had him beat.
Mullen dancing in the locker room after beating Samford.
Right. Please.
Ooh, that's a bad look. The kids, all right. They haven't won in a month. I'm fine with that. But the coach, he beat Samford. He gave up, what, 52?
Yeah.
52.
Historic.
To a losing FCS team. Yeah. They're 4-5, and you're doing that. So all these jobs are open. What coaches excite you, though? Is Luke Fickell leaving? He's making $3.5 million, and he's going to the Big 12. Is Matt Campbell leaving? Talk about bloom off the rose on a national landscape. Same thing there.
BYU coach, his name I can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Maybe him. He's going to the Big 12.
Right. And they're stepping up too. There aren't those hot coordinators. You look at going to the Alabama well, he's under the Saban tree. Hasn't worked very well for Texas. Think they wish they had Tom Herman back?
Well, I don't know.
I would.
Trent, Texas lost to Kansas.
They lost to Kansas.
I mean, and did you see the video from the kids' parents?
Wonderful.
The fullback that scored the touchdown. Yeah. And they didn't know that was their son. It was his name, Jared. I think it was Jared.
5'9".
Jared? Is that Jared?
He's listed as 6 foot.
He's not even an offensive player.
If he's 6 foot, then I'm 5'11". I mean, come on. That guy is not 6 foot. You saw it after the game as they're celebrating. The video is incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
He came to be a walk-on fullback, but in Leipold's system, they don't have fullbacks. Well, I guess we'll make you a tight end. He never played.
Right.
Had never played till this week, and he catches the ball to beat Texas, to win their first game on the road in, what, 7 years in the Big 12?
It's been a lot. Well, I saw a tweet from Travis Hines, and something about the last time that Kansas won on the road, he was still in college. Could that be?
Really?
I think that's what he said. That's not true. He's older than that. Maybe I'm mistaken. But it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time, to your point. That I don't know when it was. Maybe going back even further than that.
Man.
But, Texas, my God, woof. Yeah. Oklahoma, woof. Let's do Iowa State, speaking of woof. Trent, I don't know where what went wrong, how it went wrong. It's they've struggled on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They've struggled on the road. We saw them lose to Iowa. So we saw them come out of the gate, you and I played them tough, lose to Iowa, get well against UNLV, lose to Baylor. Their best win is Oklahoma State. Can't take that one away from them. That's a good win. Oklahoma State's a good football team. Bedlam's going to be appointment television. But, and it's not a Brock Purdy thing. Purdy was Purdy. I don't understand the criticism he gets for running out of bounds on the last offensive play of what turned out the game for them. Yeah, I guess could you fall down, but he's trying to get a first down.
Yeah.
He's in full flight trying to reach for the first down mark. He went out of bounds.
If it was inside of 40 seconds left where you run it down, kick field goal, that would make a whole lot more sense than a minute plus left, as there was in that. And you're exactly right. He was trying to get a first down.
Right.
He was trying to extend it so they could try to win the football game there. Yeah, I don't get that criticism either. This is not a Brock Purdy problem. This is a defensive problem.
There's a defensive backfield. Yep.
Why is this team continually coming out of the gates so slow?
Every single week.
We heard back in August, all the conversation was not slow start to the season this year. They get off to a slow start, and we're going to come out of the locker room week in and week out. This is what we're building to change. That's what this offseason was about, getting off to good starts. Well, we're 10 games in.
Yeah.
When, what, two of the 10, have they come out well?
Oh, I'm sure there's probably that would. I mean, I don't know if off the top of my head, but there certainly haven't been a lot of
you them. And I. No,
no.
Iowa, no,
no.
UNLV, no.
It was tight at the not tight, but
right. They came out of the gate yeah. slow there. Baylor, no, not even close. Kansas,
don't remember.
K-State,
don't
even
remember.
That was.
How about the K-State play-by-play guy trolling? Did you see that?
Yeah,
that was kind of weird, right?
K-State, maybe. So there's two. Oklahoma State? No, I don't think so. West Virginia? No. Texas? No. So, at best, two of the 10 games, they have come out and looked really good in a first quarter or first half of a football game. That's not change. And this also shows you how difficult it is to get from good to
yeah,
elite.
You're right.
And that is what I try to warn at mm-hmm. this summer, is that gap is significant. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who's coming back. Doesn't matter how the schedule plays out. That gap between being very good mm-hmm. and being elite, well, there's a reason that there's only a few teams in the country that can do it on a consistent level.
Trent, it's just got to be gut-wrenching for them because you hate to say it, but they're probably about to slide back to mediocrity, right? This was going to be their year.
Yes.
Now it's, you know, 6 and 7 win seasons are going to be the norm. Look at the guys you're losing, mm-hmm. for God's sakes. You know, best quarterback in the history of the program, I'm still a Seneca Wallace guy, but man, you could make the case for Brock Purdy.
Sure.
I get Troy Davis, this Breece Hall something else, mm-hmm. and he's a god. In fact, we said it 2 weeks ago, and this should absolutely be the case. Whatever, nobody gives a crap bowl that they get to. And by the way, it looks as though the most bowl projections have them going to Houston. Do you know when that game is?
Houston, isn't that normally, well, it's the old gallery furniture bowl right. for a number of years? Like in between Christmas and yeah. New Year's.
That would be okay. This is on Tuesday, January the 4th, when mm-hmm. everybody goes back to work on Monday, January the 3rd, and school starts either Monday the 3rd or Tuesday the 4th. It's a standalone bowl game. There's one game on a Tuesday mm-hmm. at Reliant Stadium that seats, what, 70?
yeah.
How many people are going to be there for that? Who's going to travel to that game?
Not many.
But regardless of how many people are in the stands or not, Breece Hall, Charlie Kohler, and Will McDonald looks as though he's got something wrong with his core. Now, this is Dr. Miller who diagnosed Mike Rose as having an elbow or a bicep injury because that's what they were working on the sideline. So it sure looked as though that there's something wrong with Will McDonald's core. But these guys, 3 months after that, 2 months after that bowl game, are about to have the single most important job interviews of their lives. Don't risk it, Jake Butt. Don't risk it, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Guy after guy after guy. Shut it down. You owe nothing to this program anymore. Nothing. You have a job interview in Indianapolis at the end of February that should absolutely take precedence over everything.
So a game where we don't see Breece Hall, don't see Charlie Kohler,
Will McDonald,
Xavier Hutchinson,
Mike Rose, right?
Houston on January 4th.
Play the kids.
Yeah.
What does it matter at the end of the day if they win the, I don't know, it's called the Texas Bowl. I don't even know what it's called. It's just the Texas Bowl.
Is it against at least an SEC team or something?
I think it's a Pac-12.
Pac-12, okay, so you're playing Arizona State?
Yeah, maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that, but regardless.
Well, at least it's not Conference USA or something like that.
True, it could be better.
You're going to
Memphis.
Right.
You know what? Memphis is better.
At least you can drive.
At least you can drive, and it's before you're still, school's out.
Yeah.
You know? Tuesday, January the 4th?
So you're taking away, 4 days of work?
Right.
You're right as the calendar flips, and all right, yeah. I got my 10 or 15 days of vacation this year. Mm-hmm. I'm using 4 to go to Houston.
Right. Everybody's taking the weeks off in the summertime. You're still in the office because you were at the January 4th, and I just don't see it happening.
That's crazy. But I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it is. To the game itself, what is wrong with the defense?
I have no
idea. And this isn't just a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm. This has been repeatedly.
There's been cracks for a while now. And I get that Haycock's numbers, he comes out in the second half, and no, there's a lot of weeks that they completely shut teams down. Mm-hmm. But a third-string quarterback, he looked phenomenal in his first, he started against Oklahoma. We played against Oklahoma, whatever. He was tremendous in that football game. Had no answer for him in that football game. And speaking of answers, how about the way they shut Breece Hall down?
Yeah.
They took it. Now, he did his damage through the air, but Breece Hall rushed for 50-something yards.
51 on 18 carries. 2.8 a pop.
And going into this game, this was the ninth best. There was only one team worse than stopping the run in the conference, the Texas Tech.
Well, I think
they look like world beaters.
Again, point to the offensive line.
Yeah.
The offensive line, is not good.
No.
It has been, and how many years now have we had this conversation? That first year at Campbell, and it was the first year, was as bad of a Power 5 offensive line as I can remember. And by the end of the year, they were adequate. But they have not made a big jump. There has not been that huge improvement that you've anticipated.
Yep.
And I think Breece Hall has covered up a lot of times just how poor that offensive line has been. Is that Tom Manning? He's an offensive line guy.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's going to be changes on the staff after this year. Look, they still haven't found, and I think it's going to be Noel. They're still looking for that second wide receiver option. You know, and what a safety blanket Kohler is. My God, he's a really good tight end.
Yes.
And him and Purdy have an incredible chemistry there. Brock Purdy's going to go down as one of the most decorated Cyclones in the history of their program. It was there for him. But the margin for error is slim.
Mm-hmm.
Look at when Iowa came back from their Orange Bowl.
Yep.
Right?
Everything was looking great.
Absolutely. Margin for error was slim. They ended up in Phoenix against Blaine Gabbert and somehow pulled it out. And one of Ferentz's better coaching jobs, I thought, because that was the Robinson getting busted. Mm-hmm. Was that the fart
at the press conference? See if I can muster one up for you.
See if I can muster one. I mean, everything looked as though it was completely shut it down, right?
Because every one of those losses that year, I think they had the lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But the margin is incredibly thin.
Yeah.
And this is what happens with teams outside of the Alabama, the Ohio State, that mix of teams. It's just a different level. And we see that play out again this year.
Real quick, you were working on Friday, had both high school games, so you didn't get to see Cincinnati. Trent, they don't belong. They don't belong.
Yet with all the carnage,
they're going to get in.
They're probably going to get
there. Going to get in. Yes, I agree with you. But had there not been the carnage, Friday night was awful for Cincinnati because everybody was watching.
Mm-hmm.
That entire bowl committee, wherever they're sequestered in Dallas or whatever it is, that's the only thing they were doing. They were watching the Bearcats. They weren't good.
That's an awful South Florida team.
Yes, that's just it.
Four straight weeks against bad teams.
But they're going to get in. We will have Scott Dockerman, but right now, this is the final week, by the way, for this promotion. Time for another $1,000 handoff. And speaking of promotions, Trent is going to come in here and shoot his shot for the Birkwood Bullseye. We'll do that after this, after Doc?
Yeah.
We're going to play for Kevin Yates, the Birkwood Farms Bullseye. That promotion is back. But this one, let's do this one before we do that one, if you can follow. It's time for another $1,000 handoff. Trent, let me find this. Text the keyword pay to 200, 200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000. That's pay to 200, 200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
Pay to 200, 200. Back with Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Coy Leroy.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Hi, Miller and Condon, welcome back. About 10:35. Keyword this hour, pay to 200, 200. Scott Dockerman. He covers Iowa and Big Ten stuff for The Athletic, but mostly Iowa. He joins the program as he does each and every Monday. We're grateful to that. Doc, Trent, Ken, thank you for coming on. As always, we appreciate it. I want to start with seemingly the a number of Spencer Petras' teammates wanting to make sure that the media and therefore the fan base was aware of what a good teammate Spencer Petras was. Seemingly he passed the torch to Alex Padilla, Keegan Johnson starting his... It wasn't even asked a question about Petras and went out of his way to speak with him. Padilla did likewise. That maybe is one of my bigger takeaways from the post-mortem of Iowa and Minnesota.
Well, he was, he's well liked, certainly. And that's been proven, even when he was a backup to Dave Stanley, he was, kind of a ringleader, if you will. He was well liked at different functions, team parties, all that type of thing. I was told he's kind of liked at the party, the funny guy. And so that spilled over. I mean, those relationships don't end merely because somebody plays and somebody else doesn't. So, and he and Alex Padilla, unlike most quarterback relationships at Iowa, they're actually very good friends.
Hmm.
I mean, among the best of friends. So there's a lot there. It's not like, well, I mean, it's no company secret now. You know, Rudock and Beathard never spoke after,
right?
Right when the decision was made to go with C.J. Beathard. So that's it's a little different dynamic. And he's there for his teammates. He was in full uniform, and mm-hmm. he was one of the first people to run over to Floyd to Rosedale. So he did a lot of good things, and I see coaching in his future.
Oh.
You know, I don't know how much he'll play, you know, beyond this year or whatever, but. I think he's definitely got a future as a coach.
He does, but not a future as the quarterback. I know the question will come up tomorrow. Yeah. I was surprised listening to Kirk in the post-game press conference talk about Petras and still we'll see where he is, those kind of things. What is holding Kirk back from just saying Padilla's earned it on the field now? He is our quarterback going forward. What is stopping that from being something that comes from Kirk Ferentz?
You know, he was also 11-24. So, I mean, it wasn't a perfect game by any stretch. I don't think he really has to be definitive. I mean, he had a starting quarterback all the way up until Saturday. That was the first time that Padilla started. So I think he wants to give it some time. I think he wants to respect his quarterback who started 17 games and was 13-4 as a starter. As we've said, you know, he's been a team captain. People really like him. And you make sure to have that conversation with him first before you tell a group of people like myself that, hey, he's going to be our guy going forward. I mean, you want to treat people right. Kirk Ferentz is known for that. And I think that's what will happen before he makes any kind of move. And I guess we'll see what the depth chart looks like here sometime later this morning, earlier this afternoon.
Scott Dockerman is our guest joining us from The Athletic. Doc, when you cut through it all, there's still a pathway to Indianapolis for this team. Look, Wisconsin's got to play. I get it. They'll be favored over Nebraska. They'll be favored over Minnesota, but far from sure things. Iowa still is in the hunt to get to Indianapolis, and it certainly didn't look as though that was going to be the case a couple of years ago. Need some help, but it's there.
I would give them like a 25% chance of this happening.
Yeah.
They're tied with Wisconsin. I think you look at this week, and certainly both teams are favored, and I can't imagine that Nebraska will put up much of a fight in Madison. Losing all those coaches, you're asking players to play hard for an institution that frankly disrespected them by firing all those coaches. You know, it's one thing to go into them and say, look, we're going to make a change at the end of the year, just coach out the season, don't worry about recruiting. It's another thing to say you're gone, clean out your desk today, and the players that they recruited and they're very close to sit there and go, okay, I understand. Yay, go Nebraska. I mean, there's a disconnect between fans and players when it comes to that. So, and that's the worst team in the world you want to play with that kind of mindset because they really will crush you. And so I expect Wisconsin to win big this week. But that matchup with Wisconsin and Minnesota, to me, looks about even. That's the one team that could go toe-to-toe with the Badgers in the trenches, running the football. Let's face it, Wisconsin's not exactly a prolific offense, passing attack, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're down to one legitimate running back. I think Minnesota has a chance. They really impressed me the other day. And I would say Iowa has a better-than-average shot at winning both games to finish the season. So at 10-2, Wisconsin loses in its rivalry game with Minnesota. Sure, I think Iowa has a chance. I would say I would bet more on Wisconsin winning out, but I still think Iowa has an opportunity there.
You're saying there's a chance. That's all you can ask for here with a couple weeks to go. Doc, you wrote about it at The Athletic. Kirk Ferentz, the decision to not try to score on the first two plays after they get the football on the 3-yard line. It's not hyperbolic. Alex Padilla said afterwards, we weren't trying to score on those two plays. To go up two scores, to make it a foregone conclusion outside of craziness happening with an onside kick and everything else. That decision certainly shows the conservative nature of Kirk Ferentz. Your takeaway, though, from those moments late in the ballgame?
I think there were two veins to go through, and they chose to half-step. I think you either try to score or you don't try to score there. I mean, I think you just say, okay, we're gonna punch it in, we're going to go up 9, and barring two miracles, really three, counting an onside kick, we've got this game wrapped up. Or you say, you know what, we're going to take three knees, take it all the way down, and you're going to have to go at minimum 60 yards just to get into field goal range, any kind of, you know, shooting distance for that, let alone a touchdown. And And I think it's and after what they just did in the series before, I think I would really say that was unlikely. So, you know, to try to say, well, we're going to try to milk clock. Minnesota played it as well as you could possibly play it, which is let the first play go, stop it at the second play. So you really had a tight window for Iowa because you had two more downs, and then they had to make a decision. And so that could have been very costly. I mean, we saw, you know, two major conversions. They were in Iowa territory. I remember standing there in the end or near the end zone going, man, if they hit a Hail Mary, I'm going to kill these guys for this. And, you know, of course, they got sacked and all as well. But that was a pretty rough sequence, no question.
Do they have a Tyrone Tracy malcontent problem here? I guess he tweeted again. We saw his brother or a family member a couple of weeks ago. Tracy's obviously frustrated with his lack of playing time, but it sure seems from these two eyes that he's been passed by on the depth chart. How will they handle Tyrone Tracy?
I don't know if they want to handle him in any different way that they can. They got to be team first right now. They've tried their best to get him involved. It hasn't quite worked, and it could be their fault for not doing it the right way, or it could be his fault for not producing. But either way, their focus entirely needs to be on the team, not the individual. I mean, you know, if they want to smooth over egos, it's because their quarterback that should get it first. And Tyrone Tracy's on the field. He got a carry. He's running routes. He needs to take care of the ball when it comes to him. Now, it didn't come to him the other day, but I think he's the team leader in drops, and he needs to do more while he's out there. Now, that said, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know entirely about, but that's probably something I'll spend zero time focusing on, because I think he's probably the fifth best receiver on the team right now.
Yeah, I do too.
And that's that position group, not even counting tight ends.
Offensive line looked a little bit better, didn't give up a sack in the game. A lot of that has to do with Padilla and his ability to scramble, move around a little bit. They moved the pocket for him. I was happy to see certainly that kind of playing to his strengths. What more from Padilla? Had a couple of drops. You mentioned he was under 50%. What more for Padilla to continue maturing and taking this offense maybe to another level?
Yeah, I think it was interesting to see how much they went down the field. Even right away, they decided to attack. Mm-hmm. And because Minnesota was in some sort of cover three look, somewhat man, and decided to take advantage of some of the single coverage. And they went down the field a lot, even in situations where Iowa would never do that. And that was Darlin Bruce late. And if it wasn't just for a slight tip away, that might have ended the game right there. So I think, this week may be a little bit different. Illinois is not quite as prolific on either side of the ball. So I think they may caretake it a little bit better, but I don't know. I think just probably getting in a little bit better rhythm. I like what I've seen, even though the completion percentage was a bit low. I thought they took chances, which dropped that percentage a little bit, and I thought he had some drops that, you know, were makeable catches. So I like the way he's played in the last 2 weeks. I think you just continue to move forward, and you know, the only way you can really get better is to play, and I think in his case, this will be a week where you're facing a team that's probably a little bit better when it comes to rushing the passer. And so that brings up some issues for Iowa, but not many. And I think that's just going to be the key for him, is to get out of those situations, which he clearly did the other day and was able to throw the ball away rather than take a sack.
Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. Doc, anything you want to promote that you've got coming up this week at The Athletic?
Well, I'd love to talk a little bit about my 81 piece, which I had about 15 people talk about the best day in Iowa history, including Dan McCarney, Bob Stoops, Kirk Behrens. The list goes on. A lot of former players, you know, describe their experiences on the day that the roses fell from the press box at Kinnick Stadium after 20 years of losing. So that I published that on Thursday.
Yep. And, it's a good read.
And so I would recommend people to go ahead and take a look at that one.
Absolutely. Two enthusiastic thumbs up for me. Thank you, Scott Dockerman. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Thank you. Good to talk. Scott Dockerman. It's a really good read.
Yes.
Little history there if you want to go back. Well, that's what you do with history. You always go back.
Always.
we'll go to Vegas next. Jeff Benson from Circa, Miller and Condon. 106.
You are truly welcome.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Let's head to Vegas, shall we? We will catch up with our friend Jeff Benson from Circa Sports. You can download the app at the App Store on your iPhone, Circa Sports Iowa. They've been in the state for about a month now, and of course the crew was here last weekend. Jeff Benson joins us. Jeff, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on, gentlemen. Obviously, it was a great weekend of football, and kind of as we near the past the halfway point in the season, certainly looking forward to the latter half of the year as we kind of gear up for the playoffs. And obviously, with hockey, basketball, now with the start of college basketball in swing, certainly a very busy sports time, but certainly the best time of the fall for all these sports betting fans.
Yeah, it keeps you busy. There's certainly a lot of options out there. I want to start with Sunday Night Football with you. The Raiders are obviously a public team. Was the result good, and was it much of a game? I mean, the Chiefs just dominated the football game. Did you guys need the Chiefs last night?
Yeah, great question. I think when you look at some of these high-profile Sunday night games, a lot of times you're going to have a ton of liability that leads into that Sunday night football game, whether it's parlays, teasers, or even just straight bets. So a lot of times the Sunday night game is even more meaningful than, say, if it was a standalone game or played earlier in the day. Interestingly enough, obviously, I think if you had the Raiders maybe playing a team other than the Chiefs, we would have certainly needed the team not playing the Raiders, given that we are in Las Vegas and, you know, the Raiders have been popular here, you know, similar to what the Knights are when they play. But I think, you know, what you saw last night was, you know, some support for the Chiefs. You know, there were 2.5s out there. I believe we closed 3 even. So definitely saw some support for the Chiefs that were able to move that number from 2.5 to 3, like I mentioned. And obviously the Chiefs came out and performed very well. But I think when you look at a Sunday night football game and you get favorite to the over, a lot of times the public's going to cash in. So for us, Chiefs to the over wasn't a particularly great result. And maybe spoiled some of the win that we had accumulated earlier in the day with some of those favorites going down.
Yeah, favorites going down started on Thursday and continued. Bucks losing outright to Washington. No, that was a big one for you guys. What about the tie? What were you guys rooting for there in overtime, our first tie of the NFL season with the Steelers and the Lions? I'm guessing you were a Lions fan, but maybe had some liability there in the money line. How did that play out?
No, we were rooting for the Lions. That would have definitely been a better result. I think when you look at our Circa Survivor contest,
we
had 287 people. On the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, the thought there was, you know, Ben Roethlisberger was going to play. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, after the contest deadline, it came out that, you know, he had self-reported for COVID. So he was off of the roster. And then, obviously, Mason Rudolph was going to step in and start for him. So, you know, when you look at the matchup, you know, he wasn't much better than Jared Goff, which certainly isn't saying much. You know, 16-16 in a tie ball game for how both teams really struggled to move the ball probably was the right result. You know, for us, we were hoping Detroit made that late field goal there and, you know, was able to win the game. But we did have a Detroit winless prop. Will they go 0-17? We had opened that at 17-1 on the yes. And before this game, I think we had been bet all the way down to somewhere in the 4-5 range.
Wow.
So ultimately, the tie there was good for that result as we had a little bit of liability on the other side. But had the Lions won, you know, you would have knocked out even more parlays and teasers.
Speaking of knocked out, the Circus Survivor, I think it's a great promotion where, you know, you pay your money and you take one team and you can only use them once a year and you have to obviously look ahead. Thanksgiving, that is an actual week, those 3 games there. I think you had just under 500 people of the over 4,000 that originally signed up. This couldn't have been a good week for that Survivor. There's got to be... I mean, did you eliminate 50% of the folks that went into this week still alive with Baltimore losing Thursday? You mentioned the Steelers. I have to believe there was a lot of love out there for Tampa Bay. How many people are left in Survivor? Any idea?
Yeah, so we went in, I believe, this week with 686 after the Thursday night debacle in which the Ravens lost. We were at 499. But then, you know, to your point, you know, the Steelers lost. Well, they tied, which is a loss in the contest. The Buccaneers got upset. There was quite a few people who had the Cardinals, 10-point favorites at home before Kyler got ruled out. So certainly a lot of people went down. And I believe when we started, we had 4,080 people who signed up for the contest. And as we enter week 11, I believe where the number we'll be at is 176 people. So certainly, you know, when you look back at it, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, we had 2,200 people. Hadn't been many upsets in NFL, and we were wondering, you know, how many people were going to split this pot. But as we enter week 11, a lot of carnage and kind of a bloodbath over the last 3 weeks here with, you know, some sizable favorites going down. So I believe one individual has the Rams tonight. If the Rams do ultimately win, there'll be 176 survivors heading into week 11.
Big carnage this week. Final 30 seconds with Jeffrey Benson from Circa Sports. In-state college football, of course, you guys put the lines up first. First bettable lines. I've seen Iowa State opened as a 6-point dog, now getting just 4 at Oklahoma. And Iowa opened as a 10-point favorite against Illinois, now up to 12. Seeing some Cy-Hawk money coming in here early?
Yeah, so for us, obviously, to your point, we open first college football lines in the world. We'll do so with 3K limits on the side, 1K limits on the totals. And, you know, predominantly a lot of what we see early is a lot of sharp money. Matt Metcalf, who's our director, he's very aggressive in moving the number early when we take these bets and, you know, trying to find resistance and get to the right number as quickly as possible. So certainly some sharp action on both of the sides you mentioned, but it'll be interesting to see how the market respects those and kind of ultimately where the number settles in as we head closer to game day. Later this week on Saturday.
Where the music's playing, we're running out of hour. Who do you need tonight?
My guess is we will probably need the San Francisco 49ers at home. Obviously the Rams, you know, with Odell Beckham in tow now, definitely a popular team. I'm assuming that'll be the popular public side tonight. So we'll be rooting for the home dog.
Jeff Benson from Circa Sports, Circa Sports Iowa. Jeff, thank you. Hour 2 coming up next.